We've been talking all morning about that 4 p.m. meeting in Washington, D.C. with Republican and Democratic leaders and President Biden about how to resolve this self-created mess that seems to happen almost every year. Joining us now to talk about that self-created mess, which is the debt ceiling debate, debacle, drama, whatever you want to say. Jack Fitzpatrick joining us, who covers all things Washington in Washington, D.C. What's your take on this? I mean, is this basically run-of-the-mill every year we get this, except this time just Washington is that much more polarized?
Yeah, you could probably look at it that way. One, they have a short time frame. Potentially, they don't know exactly when the deadline is going to be. It potentially could be early June, which would make it tough to negotiate really quickly. But it theoretically could be as late as early August. So that is a complicating factor. But really, this is a bigger one than it's every year and a half, 2 years, because the House Republicans came in. This is a divided government. They have to get some sort of accomplishment, get some concessions out of the Biden administration. And it's a real battle to convince him that he has to negotiate with them.
The one issue that we've been talking about also all morning has been the way that a lot of politicians are trying to employ Wall Street as an aid to basically get some sort of tantrum in markets to engage people a little bit more and basically give some cover to politicians to be able to say to their constituents, we tried, but look what was going to happen. How much is that really the case, that there needs to be drama on Wall Street for Washington to sort of fix its drama?
That is probably true. This is, Congress relies on deadlines and pressure. And there are a number of Democrats, high-ranking Democrats. You know, Sheldon Whitehouse, the new budget chair in the Senate, Democrat from Rhode Island, has said a number of times, this probably doesn't end until business interests get involved, and specifically call Mitch McConnell and try to get him involved. So the pressure needs to ramp up before anyone is convinced that they need to concede more than they're currently willing to concede. The deadline pressure could do that, even if markets aren't panicking, but the pressure needs to build up for one side to crack, essentially.
Is there any sense that the Biden administration will deploy the 14th Amendment, or is that basically just some extreme option that's being floated but isn't really practically being thought of?
That, I think, maybe in people's minds as a last resort. The White House staff made a comment recently sort of downplaying it. Congressional Democrats have downplayed it. There's actually, for one reason or another, been less appetite and interest among congressional Democrats for sort of creative, legally creative ideas like either the 14th Amendment or the mint the coin stuff. They really haven't brought that kind of thing up and have downplayed it lately. Everybody seems to think there needs to be a deal. The question is it a clean deal with no spending cuts, or does it have concessions to Republicans?
And that's been one of the discussions on our show earlier this morning as well, talking about the prospect for slower growth going forward because of prospective cuts to the budget. Does that seem like the likely outcome, regardless of who, quote unquote, wins, if you could say anyone wins?
Yeah, the middle ground here seems pretty clear that they can strike a deal on discretionary spending caps. That is not going after the biggest stuff. They're not talking about Social Security and Medicare. They're talking about a minority of the federal budget. But the pressure on discretionary spending agency budgets, that's where there's probably some middle ground. It would probably not be as steep as, they're calling for $130 billion in cuts now and then limiting growth to 1% for 10 whole years. That is an opening offer by the conservatives. But if history teaches us anything and they set those spending caps after the 2011 fight, they could meet in the middle. They could shorten the time frame, lessen the cuts. But that's kind of the conversation they're most likely to have, as long as both sides are convinced they have to negotiate, which is an X factor here. They could meet in the middle on discretionary spending caps.
Hey, Jack, is there one party here that may be a little bit more at risk here if this thing goes sideways, that may need to maybe take the lead here and kind of reach across the aisle?
I think that is what has held up negotiations, because Republicans are trying to convince the president that he has to negotiate them with them. He has to meet halfway. Really, talking to Democrats, though, they're very convinced that the proposals by Republicans are very unpopular, And, you know, if they can't talk the Republicans out of it, at least they want to make it clear that if there's blowback for a ton of spending cuts, potentially to popular programs, if there's blowback in the 2024 elections, they want the Republicans to take the blame. So it seems Democrats are hesitant to get into this without first really putting this on the shoulders of Republicans in case this turns out to be a very unpopular deal.
And in reality here, who's really driving the bus? Who should we focus on? Is it Speaker McCarthy? Is it President Biden? Is it maybe Mitch McConnell coming in at the last minute? Who do we really focus on?
You know, there has been this hope from Democrats and expectation from some sort of K Street people, consultants and lobbyists that I've talked to, that maybe McConnell could step in and save the day, and he's got the history of negotiating with Biden. But McConnell has said absolutely no to that a number of times. And there is a logic to the idea that if Biden and McCarthy strike a deal, that is not going to have any problem getting 60 votes in the Senate. So it really does seem the key negotiators are the president and the Speaker of the House. And if they strike a deal, everybody else gets on board. The only way McConnell needs to step in is if, you know, McCarthy absolutely blunders this and drops the ball and there's no faith in him. But he's someone who has shepherded a bill through the House already with almost unanimous support among his caucus. So it looks like McCarthy has strengthened his hand, and there's going to need to be conversations between him and Biden.
Does McCarthy, though, really face the same kind of backdrop as Mitch McConnell in the sense that he has a much more fractious party in the House than Mitch McConnell has in the Senate, correct?
Yeah, you could say that. He's also got such a narrow majority that he's got to look over his shoulder politically. A big variable in these talks are how many votes can he lose in a final compromise? How many Democrats can he rely on and not risk his speakership? Does he need a majority of the majority, which we call the Hastert rule in D.C.? Does he need two-thirds of his Republicans? Nobody really knows right now. So it is a challenge for McCarthy to figure out how do you get a Democratic president to sign off on this, get 60 votes in the Senate, and also ensure that you've got a large enough portion of your conference of Republicans so that this doesn't cause problems for you down the road politically.
All right, Jack, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate getting your insight. Jack Fitzpatrick, covering all things down there in D.C., how the sausage is made. That's going to talk to Jack Fitzpatrick to figure out what's going on. And now it is all about the debt ceiling, paying our bills.